All right, we're still talking on the subject of living in the supernatural. Living in the supernatural. This particular teaching is something, like I said, that God gave me because I really see how a lot of what God's people have been doing has been operating much below our privileges. And that you and I were not born, we got born again, we were born from God. We were born out of Him. We were born out of the fourth dimension. We were born from the supernatural. We have God's DNA in us. We are designed to talk and walk like God. Say amen to that. I mean, to turn around scripture, I think in many, much of my learning here was the scripture that says, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Some people kind of, you know, shrink away from that scripture because, you know, they don't realize and have no revelation of what it means. But it means basically that you are God's under rulers. You are the sons and daughters of God. You think about it. You are God's own offspring. God. You know, wow. So because we've been, I think, just kind of churchified and religified, that many times we don't realize the value of that statement. But that is a powerful, powerful statement. And sometimes, you know, when you first get a statement like that, you've got to take it and meditate it. You just can't take it and read it intellectually. You got to take it and meditate it. Now, when you meditate it, the Holy Spirit then begins to paint the reality of that in your spirit. Now, you didn't know what it was when you first said it, because you had a natural knowledge or a natural interpretation of Scripture. But when you let the Holy Spirit paint something in there, you see how far below that you were thinking. I mean, this is powerful stuff, man. I mean, we are being restored. Lord, I'm preaching now. We're being restored back to the garden. That's why Donald wrote that song, Let's Get Back to Eden and Live on Top of the World. I mean, that's the culmination that you're going to have. When God sent Jesus, He came to restore you, to you back everything that the cankerworm and caterpillar, everything had stolen. And the blessing on your life now is more powerful than it was on Adam. Now, Adam had the blessing. That blessing was the same power God used to create the earth. Adam had it on him. Then he lost it, but Jesus got it back. Say amen to that. I know He blessed Abraham with the blessing of Abraham. We have that, but the fullness of the blessing came through Jesus. We could be born again. Say amen to that. And let me tell you, it's on you right now. If you could meditate that and get up in that level of where that blessing operates, well, when you walk in a room, every devil will have to shut up. Say amen. You walk on a hospital floor, people start just getting healed just because you're coming on the floor. I'm telling you, I believe that's the anointing that can happen in our lives. But we got to believe this Bible. Say amen to that. And I'm not making up something. I'm giving you what the Bible says about us. Because I am determined to raise up a bunch of mighty men of valor, mighty women. I'm telling you. David had those men and men that he raised up, and one man could slay 800 men. Now that reminds me of the Navy SEALs. The Navy SEALs, they tell me, some of the Navy SEALs, even the enemies are afraid of them because they don't play by any rules. They don't. They may just, you know, I ain't going to say what they do, but they do just about anything. Really, and they're not afraid of anything. That's the thing. See, when you get all the fear out of a person, you got a dangerous somebody on your hand, boy. When there is no more fear, no more fear of what you think, No more fear of saying things. No more fear of stepping out on the word. No more fear of decreeing the thing. No more fear of laying hands on the sick. No more fear of casting out devils. No more fear of telling money to come. No more fear of what people gonna think about you. When you got no more fear, you are dangerous somebody, boy. Because Jesus had no fear. No fear. I'm telling you, they hollering over there now. Yeah, right, right. Oh yeah, that's where we're going. We're going to no fear here. No fear. Wow. Powerful. Well, let's read this, and I'll read it and get started here. Verse 5. He that therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. God's plan from the beginning was that mankind have supernatural abilities. That was his plan from the beginning. And it's still his plan. God didn't change a thing. What does he say? Put it up there in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Look what he says here, prophetically speaking. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for what? Signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. So notice what you're for. You're for signs and wonders. Over in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, and you shall receive power. 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 I said power. Now this is above just natural power. This is spiritual power. This is the same power that can speak and a gun can't shoot. This is the same power, come on now, that a snake can bite and can't hurt. This is the same power. It's all in here. Say amen to this. Folks, when David slung that stone and it hit Goliath in the head, let me show you this. This is 1 Samuel and chapter 17. And look at this. Now, I don't know if you've seen this before or took time to meditate it, but look what it says here. Verse 45. Now, I'm talking about the supernatural. See, like I told you, when I was a little boy, I knew I was something other than what folk were. I'm trying to put that in as clear terms as I can put it. I knew it was something different about me. I didn't know what, but I think I caught a glimpse of something. And that's why I bought those Superman shirts. You better hear what I'm saying. I bought those shirts because I knew. See, you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. And the only way that Kellogg's box with that Superman shirt offering would have been there is that I drew it. That box came, it said, send the box top with 50 cents and we'll send you a shirt. They sent that shirt, I put it on. I wish my mother was here. Immediately I was a changed man. You know, I tried to tell people about that, but they didn't realize what I was talking about. My sister sent me this old picture of me in elementary school. Every other person in the basketball team had on a uniform. I had on a uniform too. It was a Superman shirt, and I'm bending down. They couldn't get that shirt off of me. Because when I took it off, I changed back into my old man at Clark Kent. But as long as I had it on, I was hard to deal with, brother. Now, my point to you is, David had hold of something. And he had a hold of a knowledge of who he was. And he had been out there with them sheep meditating the word of God. And he came and slayed a lion and slayed a bear. Now he came to the front line. Sometimes what people do try to come to the front line before they slayed the lion and the bear. Come on, help me now. I had this working at IBM when I was at job. I had it working when I first started ministry or really didn't have a church or whatever have you. I'm just saying this didn't just start now. You start right where you are. Say amen to that. Look what it said, verse 43. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with a stave or a stick?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Now you coming to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied this day." Man, that's big talk, folks. "This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. I'm going to take your head off." Now this, do you know the size of this? I'm trying to help you. "This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. I will smite you, take your head off, and I'm going to give you carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with a what? Sword and a spear, for the battle is whose? It's the Lord's. And he will deliver you into my hands," our hands. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came to the and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines." Now this is what the Navy SEALs will do. Hey, you can't scare them enough that they'd run away from you. They gonna hate. I'm talking about God's people should be the same way. Come on, hiding from a phone call. What? Pick that phone out, Ella. What? Look at verse 49. Y'all don't mind if I help you, do you? "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his what? Forehead. That the stone did what? Sunk into his forehead." Do you know how fast a stone has got to be traveling to sink in a big old giant's big old hard head? Do you know how fast that thing's got to be traveling? No, do you know? That's got to be going like a bullet. He couldn't sling it that hard. He couldn't sling it that hard. I had a sling. See, I've done all of this. I really have. I had a sling. That's my sister. I had a sling. Some of y'all don't even know how to make a sling. I had a sling, a piece of leather here, two pieces of rope here, and you had a hook in this side, and you hold the other part of the sling, and you put the rock in there, and then start going around. And I got pretty accurate with it. I could throw it. it could go in the direction that I wanted it to go. But anyway, you can't sling it that hard. You can't sling it that hard, folks. There's no way you can do that. Not naturally. But all you gotta do is let it go. Once you let it go, angels got it. And that stone was traveling about warp 6 when it got to that man's head. Telling you, almost took it off. And then David goes and cuts his head off. Now, what is he doing there? He's cutting the head off the strong man. And all the other demons will go. Now, I'm not talking about hurting anybody. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in this story right here. David was a person who operated in the supernatural. The supernatural is not an option, it's a requirement. We're coming into a time that where God is sending us, you must operate supernaturally. Are you following what I'm saying? God's plan from the beginning is that you have supernatural ability. That is going to be one of the things that's going to distinguish you from the rest of the people in this earth. Now, the devil doesn't want you to operate in the supernatural because he knows that supernatural will cause people to leave dead gods and come over on your camp. Now, the whole world, Lord have mercy, is under the control of the evil one. And God wants them released. And you are the ones that he's sending to invade every area that Satan has set up and strip him of everything, not only property, but people, and bring it into the kingdom of God. And that's what he's going to do. And you cannot do it naturally. That's why the church hasn't gone much farther. Can't do it naturally. It's got to be supernatural. I said it's got to be supernatural. You have authority. And I taught this the other day, that if you come over here with me and go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, you have been given authority. You can say things. You can resist him. Talking about the enemy now. The devil is no match for you. You are so far above him until he looks weak. Now you got to get that in your spirit. You can't be looking at all these Hollywood movies and seeing people's heads spin and then the devil coming high, all that. Folks, when you come on the scene, they don't even say nothing. They shut up. They try to hide because they know you're going to cast them out. Look what it says in Mark chapter 15. And I read this to some people the other day, but I want to say it again. We're talking about your authority. Verse 17. And they clothed him with purple. This is Jesus now. And they platted a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out of to crucify him. Now look what they did to Jesus. Verse 17, they clothed him with purple. That's that robe. That's righteousness. That's kingly authority. And watch this, they planted a crown of thorns, and what did they do with him? Put it where? On his head. Now when they pushed those thorns on his head, what came out? Blood flow. Now where did the crown of thorns come from? Thorns came from the curse. It came from when Adam sinned, the curse came in, and God said, and thorns and thistles will you have to work in and all the days of your life, and this is going to be the inheritance that you're going to get. But once Jesus did this, and they pushed him crown of thorns on his head, right then he was redeemed from the curse. Mankind got redeemed. Right? Come on now. But then they said, begin to salute him and call him King of the Jews. They took a reed and they smote him on the head with it. Now, what does the reed symbolize? This is that staff. This is the authority of a king. Got it? And what it's saying here is that if you don't know your authority, the devil will take it and beat you over the head with it. I'm saying you got something to say about what goes on in this earth. Now, this robe is a key. Now, let me just cover this because I didn't want to cover too much today, but this is what I want to cover. God's ability is your inheritance. God's ability is your inheritance. Now, the enemy tries to put up perfect storms, meaning there's no way out. But remember this, everything that makes your case, Lord have mercy, come on. Everything that seems naturally impossible is actually a deception of the devil. Boy, that'll do it right there. You see, when Adam sinned, can I cover this? When Adam sinned, he got cut off from part of reality. He was left with the temporal. But before, he had the image of God, which gave him the ability to see like God. But once he sinned, he lost sight of part of reality, which is in the invisible. And the only thing he could see now is the visible. So everything he sees now is a distortion. So now the devil can fool him because the devil can play with that temporal realm. See, he can make it look impossible. But if you could see the rest of reality, you could see that it is possible. You follow what I'm saying? I hope you're grabbing hold of this. How about when they got to the Red Sea and they got to the Red Sea, there was no way to get across. And God said, hey, what are you crying to me about? Take out your hand and stretch it out. And they stretched it out. And the next thing you know, the Red Sea split. Identity. Sonship is the backbone of the supernatural. Sonship. Now, you have been made the righteousness of God. And righteousness is not based on how you just acted. It's based on how you were born. You were born righteous. Now, righteousness has no sense of inferiority. When Jesus faced a storm, he was not afraid. Righteousness brings you into right standing with God. And one of the things that Adam lost in the fall is a sense of righteousness. Jesus got it back. He not only got it back, but when you and I got born again, we became the righteousness of God. We took on his same divine nature. Say divine nature. So righteousness restores to mankind what he lost. And one of the first things he lost was fellowship. So righteousness brings you back into right standing with God so that you got fellowship with him again. And what happened is when it says in 1 John, put it up there on the board, please. I got to whip right through this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. There are things you cannot receive if you don't come up on the level of what God has planned for you. You can't receive it. Do you realize that there are no houses in heaven? There are only mansions. Sin consciousness brings a sense of inferiority, a sense of shame, a sense of guilt, and out of that, no faith will flow. Got it? It becomes hard for you to believe the word. When you are righteous and know it, demons obey you. When a person has been given righteousness and don't know it and still walking in unrighteousness, sickness and disease and lack and poverty and all that become their master. Now, a lot of times people are trying to work up enough faith to do something. It's not the faith. It's the righteousness. And I'm bringing you back to the root now, that if you get the righteous standing with God and know who you are, that you are his offspring and that you are royalty in his sight. If you maintain that, then I don't care what situation you're in, faith will flow and miracles will follow. Sonship is a backbone of the supernatural. And when you don't have it, it's hard to work it. Demons know when you know who you are. They have a sense of it. They can smell it just like a dog can smell when somebody's afraid of them. They can smell it. And what you need to do is understand that the righteous are as bold as lions. That you are not concerned about what's going to happen to you because you know the scripture in Isaiah 54, put it up there, 54:17, that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It is not even how good you acted. God is judging you righteous based on what Jesus did. He's going to treat you the same as he treated Jesus. Say amen to that. I'm only telling you that because the world does maintenance on your esteem. They constantly try to do things to knock you down, to bring you down, to make you feel that you're less than. And your self-esteem has got a lot to do with what you can inherit. It's directly proportional to your identity. And you're going to notice the people said we're grasshoppers. Didn't they say that? But notice they never got that inheritance, did they? But here's a man named Gideon. God said, I want you to go out here and get Israel set free. Gideon got out there and got 33,000 men, didn't he? God said, you got too many for me. See, that's where his esteem was. He was thinking he needed big numbers. He didn't need big numbers. He needed a big esteem. He needed to see himself like God saw him. Now, once you do, God can flow through you through miracles because greater is he that is in you. He's already in you. He's waiting to do the miracles, but he can't come out unless you operate in righteousness. You try to shine a flashlight through a glass full of mud. Take the glass, put water in it, put dirt in it, and stir it up. Now try to shine the flashlight through it. You'll shine it on one side, but it can't come out the other. So notice, if you clear it up, shine it through, it'll come right out. When you are unrighteous and have guilt and shame, you become mud. And the Spirit of God, power of God, can't come through you. But if you see yourself like you never sinned in your life, man, you will shake mountains. Demons will run from you. And I'm saying what we've been working on trying to get more faith. But what you need to work on is your image. You need to come back and say, wait a minute, who am I in God? How does he see me? Now, you might not get it with one reading, so you got to meditate it. You got to get in there, because if you don't, you're going to operate like the world. You're going to manipulate people. You're going to try to impress somebody when you don't need to impress them. You're going to try to manipulate your way around here and maybe have a little bit of tough. You don't need to do all of that. You can come to them with your wig turned sideways and still get what you want. Say amen to that. Because when you know you're the boss of all of this, you know they can't hold nothing from you. You got to see this. The enemy got us working on trying the outside trick. You need to fix that thing in your heart. You need to know who you are right inside of here. You walk in that office and say, I'm up in here now. Cut all this mess out. It's not your natural roots, it's your spiritual roots that you're working on. Are you following me, what I'm saying here? Now look at 1 Peter, turn and put up there please. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's put it on the board. Look what it says here. It says this. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Come on. And their what? Ears are open to their prayers. Now that's the righteous. The effective fervent prayer of the righteous, what? Amen. See, you can talk with God again. But you can't talk with God. Folks, let me say something. Try to fellowship with somebody that's below you. You can't do it. You can talk with them and play with them. How you doing? But you can't fellowship with them. God fellowship with Adam. God wants to fellowship with you. You are on his level. Now, I know that freaks some folk out because you trying to be God. I am a son of God. He is my father and we talk together daily. And when you don't have that, everybody's got to do all you're praying for you. Let's go to the last place. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. And you got to forget your past. Yes, well, you know, didn't know Reverend, you know, I was there. Hey, come on now. You got to put it back there. You got to do something with it. Because the enemy going to try to use it to do maintenance on your esteem. He's going to try to remind you of it every moment you get. And you got to forget it by faith. You're not going to bug me any longer. You aren't going to tell me where I can go, what I can do, what I have, and how to get it. You're not going to tell me that, devil. I already know who I am. I was persistent about being Superman. I'm telling you, my mama tried to back me off of that. She said, son, you're messing up my sheets. I said, mama, I understand that. I understand that. But I got to fly. Yeah, really, I thought that thing overtook me. I had some things. I got to fly down the windows house there. I got to save some time. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, I remember when I used to wear them Sammy Davis platform shoes, you know, and nothing against them, but you know, I was trying to help. I was trying to, you know what I mean? But now, you know, I mean, my wife, look at me now. Look at all this.
me.
How you gonna turn this down? Do y'all flow? You told me to flow, didn't you? Where did I tell you to turn? All right, now I'm talking about the supernatural and what happens. Sonship opens the door to the supernatural, but a sense of unrighteousness blocks the door to the supernatural, and people don't have it in their lives. You got to stop performing for people. Your performance is for an audience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to stop performing for people. I'm telling you, that'll hurt you. That'll take you backwards instead of forwards. Jesus didn't care what you thought about him. Say amen to that. And you got to stop that. You got to stop being manipulated like that, because the enemy is using that to do maintenance on you. And what you got to do is come out of that thing. Say, hey, I'm who I am. You don't like who I am? That's your fault. You missing out. Say amen to that. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the King. I'm his workmanship. I'm his offspring. Say amen to that. Well, I remind myself, because sometimes I go places, you know, and people, you know, and they're trying to impress somebody, you know, and I got to sit through that. And, you know, and like the man said, faith has no proof. It's a fake. You know, I want to say, well, what you got? Let me show you. Show me your faith, where it is, because I can bring you here and show you mine. But where is yours? Let me see what you got. What you got? You see, all trying to impress somebody. But man, it takes more than, you know, $3,000, $5,000 suits and you know, alligator shoes. You're going to have to know something. You're going to have to be able to use your faith. Say amen to that. Amen. I'm talking about the set up the supernatural in your life. You're going to back off of all trying to impress people. You're going to come over to impressing one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to receive his same righteousness and move out in it. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, let me just show you this last part and we'll close it out. Look what it says here. Look at Mark chapter 9. I'll start at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about him and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked his scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake unto thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. Not would not, could not. And he answered them and said, O faithless what? Generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground wallowing and foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came to him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Let's just stop right there. If thou can believe. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
If thou can believe. If thou can believe. So there is nothing impossible if you can believe. I told you that everything that makes it looks like it's naturally impossible is actually a deception of the devil. Got it? And if thou can believe, keep going, all things are possible to who? To who? Him that believeth. So let me say, I believe for something. House debt free. Is that possible for me? Yeah. Now suppose I believe it and you don't believe it. Now wait a minute, I'm not singling you out, but suppose I believe it and somebody else doesn't believe it. Will it work for me and not for them? Come on now. Would it work for me and not for them? So what's possible for me is not based on what somebody else believes. Because I believe it, but they don't. So it'll work for me, but it won't work for them. So I can believe for a house debt-free. Now, don't get mad at me when I get it. Because if you want one, all you gotta do is believe. Say amen to this. And I'm telling you right now, saints of God, there is no limit to what God will do through you, with you, for you, if you'll only, come on, believe. And I'm saying we're gonna teach some on meditating the Word of God. Because that is the key I find to getting me to believe something that I couldn't believe before. It was crazy before, but I got that word. I begin to meditate it day and night. All of a sudden, what was impossible now looked like it was possible, because the devil had actually deceived me in thinking I can't have that. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't reach that. I'm telling you, you can be a millionaire in a month if you'll only believe. And I'm going to take this word. We're going to work the devil over. Everything he's illegally holding back, we're going to get it back into your life. Mary believed she could have a baby without a man. Did she have it? Abraham believed he could have a child with, he was past childbearing and he was 100 years old. Did he have it? I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference, because with God, all things become possible, and he's got enough seed in here that you can meditate your way right into heaven, even from this earth. It's time for you to succeed. It's time for you to stop failing. It's time for you to have something that the world would look at you and say, how in the world did you do that? There's no more failures in your life. This is your time for a jubilee. This is your time that every miracle God has planned for your life will come to pass, and they're gonna start this week. Now, I spoke that. I said, your miracles of the impossible are going to start this week. No more delays in your life. They have been held up, but this is your jubilee. This is your release. This is the time that what God's planned for you is going to manifest. This is it. Don't look at your cousin, she might not believe. Don't look at your grandmama, she might not believe. But with you, if you can only believe, say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm no longer a doubter. What God has placed in my life is going to come to pass. I'm walking in the perfect plan of God. Everything that's been stolen is now returning. This is the year of my jubilee. Now, Satan, release my stuff in the name of Jesus. I pull you down. The blood is against you. Now money cometh to me now. Now, That was a prophet. And the man of God, servant, went out to get him some water and saw he was surrounded by the Syrian army. And this is what he said. What are we going to do now? And that's what you say when you're still in the natural. Here's what the man of God said. There be more with us than be with them. I'm telling you, there's more with you than be with anything that's coming against you. So here's the deal. The deal is, from now on, decree a level of the supernatural anointing on your life. That whatever God says to you to do, you're going to do it. Now notice what he told one man to do. He told him to take an arrow and hit the ground with it. And he told him to hit the ground. And he hit the ground three times or something like that. And notice, he came back and told him, said, now you won the battle three times, but if you do hit the ground five or six or seven times, you'd have won all the battles. Notice what he took to win the battle. Just striking the ground. Now you say in your natural mind, what has that got to do with striking, winning a battle? None of your business. What you got to do is whatever he tells you to do. Come on. Whatever he tells you to do, you just gonna do it. Say amen to that. I'm saying we need to stop trying to figure it out how God's gonna do this, and whatever you here to do, just do that. It might be to turn around three times. Just turn around three times. And by the third time, money will be in your bank account. It might be, that's what I'm hearing right now, because the enemy has blocked the way intellectually. So we got to get out of that realm into the supernatural. Give God praise. That's all we got.